Welcome to Human Potential at Work, the show where we explore social impact, inclusion, and empowerment of everyone, including persons with disabilities. Your host is Deborah Rue, CEO of Rue Global Impact, and co-founder and chairwoman of Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization designed to bring billions of voices of persons with disabilities together. To join the global community and to donate to the cause, visit billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org. And now, on to the episode.
Hello, everyone. My name is Deborah Rue, and this is Human Potential at Work. Today, I have two guests. One is a returning guest, Neil Milliken, and one is a new guest, Mark Wilcox. And they are both joining us from Atos. Now, some of y'all might know that Neil is my partner with Access Chat. It's one of the world's largest tweet chats in the world, and we do it every single Tuesday. And Neil has also been on the show before, so very proud to have him back on, and we're going to have a fun time. We're going to talk about a really important topic, too. So Neil is the Vice President of and Global Head of Accessibility for Atos, and Mark is the Global Accessibility Academy and Accessibility Knowledge Lead of Atos. And if you don't know Atos, they're from France. Their corporate offices are in France, but they are all over the world, and they're a system integrator, and they do a lot of different services and solutions, and they're a billion-dollar company. And they are also, if you don't know it, they're located also in the United States. They have at least 10,000 workers in the United States. Maybe it's more now, but they are a global brand, Atos. So welcome to the program. And if you don't mind, Neil, and I know it's hard sometimes interviewing your good friends, and so Neil and I are going to totally harass each other during this, and we'll be nice to Mark, maybe. But Neil, tell the audience a little bit about who you are and actually how you became the vice president of Global Head of Server Accessibility.
Okay, so yeah, thank you for the introduction. It's good to be back and amongst friends. So yes, I'm Neil. I am VP and I run our global accessibility programs. I've been working with Atos for 11 years in the assistive tech business for 21, which is quite scary. And it's been quite a journey within the organization, basically growing the competence, winning the arguments or persuading people that it's a necessary topic to the point where we have a large ongoing program that's transversal, that has CEO and board level sponsorship. And we have a team of people that are full-time engaged on it, but we also need to engage the rest, which is where Mark comes in and is so important. And I'll let Mark introduce himself in a second. But yes, to your point, we're 105,000 people in 74 countries.
Wow.
Do everything from landing space probes on comets for the European Space Agency to building quantum computers to cybersecurity, particularly strong on decarbonization. And of course, we want to make accessibility part of everything that we do in such a complex environment and delivering this stuff for our customers. Learning is really important and we need to teach people skills. Mark plays a role in doing all of that. And I forgot to say, I came here and I have a passion for it because I'm dyslexic and ADHD, so I have skin in the game.
And you were one of the first people that came out as having dyslexia because a lot of people don't want to talk about it. Now we're seeing it more, but you were one of the first people that I heard talk about it. So thank you for that leadership too. So Mark, tell us about you because we love your background.
Thanks for the introduction, Deborah and Neil. Yep, so my name is Mark Wilcox. And I'm the Global Accessibility Academy and Accessibility Knowledge Lead here at Atos, based within the United Kingdom and Ireland. I started 7 years ago my accessibility journey as an apprentice in the UK, following as a software developer with accessibility integrated as part of the job role, learn on the job. And then through that, I progressed from the initial apprenticeship to a degree apprenticeship, where I then completed a degree in computer science and graduated from that in All Spotted, thankfully, through Atos. And I've been there for 7 years now. Recently, I've taken on a new role, which Neil was mentioning, related to the knowledge and upskilling of our employees and the engagement of our customers in accessibility knowledge. Because obviously, we have a small team of accessibility experts, but it takes everybody within the organization to consider and deliver on accessibility to really achieve our ambitions and our goals that we're trying to achieve here at Atos.
Yeah, and Mark, whenever you first joined Atos, did you also look around at other companies? Why did you choose to go with Atos instead of others? So you're a very bright, you know, young man. I know that brands want employees like you. So why?
So in terms of kind of why Atos compared to other competitors, when I was initially looking through apprenticeships, because that is the route I wanted to take, I didn't initially want to go to university and take a degree in the traditional way that a lot of people do here in the UK, at least. Atos was providing a level four, which is quite a high qualification and not that easy to come by. So one, it was the value that, but also the perks and the other factors that Atos provide you was one of the factors, and how large they are, because obviously there was a negative perception around apprenticeships when I initially started, around kind of companies utilizing them for getting kind of cheap labor, if you want to put it that way. But obviously that shifted quite considerably in the last few years, thankfully, and there's a lot more value being delivered by them. But that was a factor, because they're such a large organization, and they showed when you actually started that they were investing in you, not just in the apprenticeship, but in the long term. It was definitely.
Let's talk about this program. But even before we do that, Neil, why did you think it, as a vice president of a major global brand, why would you create an apprentice program and start with accessibility? Now, I personally think it's brilliant, and I'm so glad you did, because if we don't make sure that technology is accessible to all people, we're going to continue to make sure that people can't be truly included. But at the same time, it was a lot of effort that you as a leader had to take on. And so why did Atos think it was important to create an apprentice program for people so that you could hire talented people with accessibility in the accessibility field?
Firstly, we were already investing in apprenticeships. So I think Mark had probably explained a bit about the programs as a whole. So we were spending money and we were investing, and we thought that apprenticeships were a great way to attract talent that we wouldn't otherwise have attracted, like Mark. But I personally was invested in it because it's really difficult to recruit good accessibility people. And in the long, okay, firstly, there are more jobs and more stuff that needs doing in accessibility than there are people that know how to do it. So there is a skill shortage. And so what the apprenticeships enabled us to do was have a framework in which we can onboard people into our organization, and to be able to then help them grow, acquire not just the sort of accessibility skills, but the technical skills and the soft skills, because a large part of what we do is around soft skills, to make sure that they're then ready to be rounded professionals in all of these areas that our business needs. So it was selfish from the first point. I needed more people, and it seemed like a good long-term bet. And then that was the first lot. And then we were happy with how the first scheme turned out, how Mark and his colleagues performed and all the rest of it. And we took on another one, and people kept trying to poach. So it was obvious that we were onto something. And it was also obvious that what we really wanted to do was a dedicated accessibility scheme rather than adding accessibility onto another scheme. And I had some other motivations behind that too, which was that by creating a standard for accessibility specialists and getting the approval and going through all the rigmarole on the process with our Department for Education, it meant that accessibility would then be recognized as an occupation in itself. So the government then recognizes it as an occupation, then starts going, oh, we're having to train these people, and these are recognized skills. Therefore, we need to start planning throughout the rest of our training and education pipeline, so it starts impacting into the education ecosystem. And the other thing that we really liked about the whole thing is that it's open source. So, okay, at the moment it's in the UK, but it's all public online. So all of the knowledge, skills, behaviors, duties that you would expect someone that completes this apprenticeship to carry out are documented and available for you to take. Please do. So this is the other thing is, it's not precious. It's not an Atos scheme. We're invested in it. We believe in it. But we want everybody to do this. So we want other countries to adopt it and adapt it and so on, so that we end up with more and more people trained up and with a really broad knowledge of accessibility around the world. And when I say broad, I'm also complete, because one of the things about you and I, Deborah, is that we've come into this as a second career. We've acquired our knowledge and our skills as we've gone along, right. And there are gaps in our knowledge. And what the apprenticeship does is it actually takes the framework and goes, what is it that you need? What are all of the things you need to know in order to be a good practitioner?
But you actually had to, I thought it was interesting. I believe Mark said this in that you actually had to create it all. There was nothing created. And even though you didn't create all the training, you had to identify all the skills that were needed to be an accessibility. Yeah, I don't want to say expert, but an accessibility analyst. I don't even know what the right word is there, because
we're calling it specialists, right? Yeah, so it's a specialism, right? So it's like, and the way that they term it in terms of apprenticeships in the UK, they would call it an occupation. So this is, it's a career path, and you have a specialism in that career path, and you have a bunch of skills that you need to acquire, set knowledge, attributes that you need, personal attributes. These are the sort of behaviors that you would exhibit, etc. So, and then you, as part of that, you define what someone does. So those are the duties, if you like. And then, and the design of it is such that those skills are transferable. The aim is not that you only create apprenticeships in mega corporations with thousands of staff, but they should be able to work for small businesses too.
And also, you were showing preferential treatment to people with disabilities that you were hiring in these apprentice programs.
So we welcome people with disabilities to participate. We have absolutely, in the design of the apprenticeship, made sure that the assessment methods and the criteria that we've created for the training require that the training providers make their courses accessible so that we can seed the market. We're not the ones providing the training, remember that. So we've helped develop a standard that can go anywhere. So what we're doing is we're essentially writing the rules of the game and determining the criteria. We're not the ones actually doing the training. We'll provide some of the people, but there will be a training provider that will do a lot of that. And yes, of course, we welcome applicants from the disability community. Absolutely.
And I think it's so great, because what you're doing is you're helping continue to legitimize accessibility as an occupation. Because it's a very important occupation. Let me go back over to you, Mark, because how did it feel moving into working for a company that you really felt on your side and really wanted you to really tap into the skills that you have and already the lived experiences that you had? But it seemed like they really wanted to make sure that Mark Wilcock was successful. And sometimes, I know I'm obviously much older than you, but my first professional job was when I was 19, and I worked for a very large telecommunications company in the United States that both my parents worked for. So I got a job because my parents. But I kept being told, if you don't like your job, and I wasn't the only one told this, we were all told this, you don't like your job, there's 1,000 people waiting outside the door for your job. And it made me feel so unempowered and unappreciated. I felt so unappreciated. And as soon as I could, Mark, I left. And I went and I became a waitress, because I felt like, as waitressing, people appreciated when I brought them their food and I supported them. So I was just curious. I wish I'd had the kind of experience that you've had, Mark. But tell us more about how you feel with not only that they believed in you, but then they actually ask you to help them put the program together. So now you're actually leading the way for others.
Yeah, so I think in terms of kind of apprenticeships and how they're generally structured, I think it's a very kind of 50-50 split that the organization is getting an individual who's going to be committed to completing the learning, because whilst they do support you with the learning, you do still have to do learning outside of job hours. So you don't get all of the time to complete the training in the job hours. So the organization has that kind of commitment from an apprentice that they're invested in their training, invested in their future development and how that develops. But I think it also provides back to the employee that the company's one, willing to often or most of the time fund all of the training to develop that individual. So that the company's getting that kind and the individual's getting that kind of reward. It's a mutual beneficial kind of a relationship. And I think obviously a standard employee might not have, or somebody who's coming out of uni might not have that relationship with the organization, because you're going there to get the salary to complete the job. There isn't a 50-50 investment from both sides. So I think in terms of kind of commitment, it develops a better relationship between the organization and the employee, because it shows they're willing to invest in you. Because whilst they do train you and you work during your apprenticeship scheme, there's nothing at the end of the scheme technically stopping you saying, actually, I don't want to work there. I'm going to go to a different organization because I've got this qualification now. But I think you often see that apprentices stay on because that they feel that appreciation.
That is a powerful statement. That's a very good point. So I know that we moved away in the States from apprenticeships, and I think it's a mistake that we did that. And I know a lot of apprenticeships are tied to like electricity or learning to do different skills, bricklayers and things like that. But, you know, technology works too. And so the thing that I love about what you did was that y'all actually went and you changed things in the United Kingdom. You actually worked together, you worked with other people, did all of the pieces that need to be done. It's a lot of work. And who did you work with? Y'all worked with...
Barclays, BBC, Shell, AbilityNet, National Institution of the Blind, Northamptonshire County Council, Lloyds Bank, lots of other organisations. And we've now got interest from a broad range of institutions, both public and private sector, that know that they need these skills and are interested.
Yeah, and it was free.
Yes, it was a lot of, and it took us far longer than we anticipated. You know, when Mark and I started this, we thought a couple of meetings will be good. We know what we want to do. We've done this a few times. And of course, in come the Institute for Apprenticeships, which is the sort of offshoot of the Department for Education, and say, but you need to define this. And what about this? And we got rejected first time around. Right. So we got told, actually, we don't think that this is something that is a standalone occupation. So we had to go back and rethink and talk about actually what the difference was between software developer and software tester and all of this stuff, and explain also that it was about how you have these assistive technologies and these mainstream technologies, and the art of accessibility is making them interoperable and supporting people. And so we had to entirely change the way we described everything. And it made us really think quite hard about what we do and how we address that. And it made it stepped us out of our own bubble. And it made us begin to explain stuff in a language that other people would understand, which I think is really, actually, whilst it was painful at the time, it's been really useful.
If I was a corporation looking for talented individuals with accessibility, I would want y'all to help me do what you've done. But also here in the United States, we really need y'all to bring this to the United States, because we don't have this, and I don't believe any other country has it either. But it's so critical. I love the program that you're doing and the success that you've had already coming out of it. It's really amazing. How can we take this to the world? How can we take this to the States? We need this so bad. Sorry.
It is, like Neil said, it is all open source. So the framework that we developed with those duties, knowledge, skills, and behaviors can be freely accessed on the Institute for Apprentices website. A quick Google of Digital Accessibility Specialist Apprenticeship Scheme will most likely throw up the page, and you can download everything freely and utilize it. And But I think obviously it needs to be remapped or altered so it works with the frameworks in those countries. Because I think, like I was mentioning before, that the critical part is ensuring that it has equivalence to other qualifications to ensure that a learner completing that has the same opportunities in a job market or has the same pieces of paper, in essence, to be valued in the same light.
Yeah, which is a great point. But I also think that it's a business opportunity for Atos, because the reality is, I know it's all open source, but as Neil just said a minute ago, it was a lot more complicated than we thought it was going to be. It took a lot more time. And you brought in a lot of partners. Is there, if I was a big corporation and I wanted to do it, would there be a way I could reach out to Atos? Because I know y'all work with these gigantic corporations anyway. That's who your clients are, and governments. So I think that Atos needs to offer this as a service because everybody needs this. Whoa. Come on. Everybody needs this.
Accessibility skills training as a service. So to a certain extent, we do offer organizations help with their maturity and how they put in place processes, and we'll support them. At this stage, we're not an education institution, but we are there as a trusted advisor and a technology advisor to help clients achieve a more inclusive day-to-day experience for their employees and their customers, right? So yes, there are things that we will do, but running,
isn't that part of your roadmap?
Yeah.
Isn't it part of the roadmap? Because how do you find the Mark Wilcoxes of the world, right?
Oh, so for sure, we'll be taking on more, right? And we're hoping to roll it out in other countries, even if we're not doing it as an official apprenticeship, taking the framework and training our own people in other countries using the framework. But we would like to see the framework adopted. And one of the things we'd like to do is actually map it to the skills, SFIA skills framework, which is the Global Skills and Competency Framework for the Digital Age. Because this is used by governments all over the world for how they map tech jobs and tech skills. So if we can do that and map what we've already got in the apprenticeship to SFIA gradings and descriptors and everything else, then it actually reduces the friction for uptake. So yes, it's on our roadmap that and it's our ambition that this goes everywhere. Yeah. Are we going to train the world in it? No, but we hope that we'll make it easier for everyone around the world to train people. And then what you get, like with other tech skills, is you get a marketplace where people, you can recruit and people have freedom to move around and have careers and everything else. So the intent is to seed the market and to really grow the pool of people that are available to organizations, including us, that can do a good job.
I agree. But at the same time, it really shows massive leadership with you and Mark and Atos. So I appreciate corporate brands that are making the world a better place. So I just want to give y'all kudos for that. And I know that you got it done in the UK. Congratulations. You have just so much happening. And I'm hoping you and Mark will come back on in a few months and give us an update. But I also would really like to help y'all bring that to the United States, because we desperately need it here so bad. I also think every other country needs it as well. But I think I love the innovative story that this tells. And I think Mark brought up some brilliant points, because Mark, as part of the younger generation, you want to work for corporations, even big corporations, that believe in them and support his career. And more young people think like Mark does. And I appreciate that. So value them, and they'll work really hard for you. As he said, he feels very loyal to Atos because they believed in him. So I do think this is a powerful story. All right. And I know I've already kept y'all too long, because I'm just stoked about this program. It could really change the world. What I'd like to do is I'd like you to tell us how we can learn more about it. I know, obviously, you both are on social media, your social media handles and things like that. I know that you just got verified on Twitter, and you got me verified too. Thank you very much. And now we're going to get our third verified. But We really, truly, though, do appreciate the leadership, because what I see is a lot of people just whining and complaining. I've been one of them, about the lack of expertise, when you actually went out, found talent, and trained the talent to do it, and then made sure that your country could do the same thing. That is true leadership. Thank you. Thank you.
It's not just us, though. So we need the other people that have contributed to this, people like David Caldwell, people like Gareth Ford Williams, people like Jody Greer. These are all names that you know, right? So it's the usual suspects. The positivity of that group of people that to make those changes is really important. And we could not do it without them. But I'm gratified to Mark, to I think what the thing that I'm really proud of, that Mark's still with us after 7 years, and that his experiences of going through the apprenticeship, and I think it's probably one of the few apprenticeships that's been designed and co-designed by a former apprentice, so it's informed through real life experience. So I think that that's important. In terms of where you can find it, Mark's already mentioned, just search for Digital Accessibility Specialist Apprenticeship. It's easier than finding the URL. Just use your favorite search engine. Likewise, you can find me on social media. I'm at my name on Twitter. I'm likewise on LinkedIn. We're everywhere that you would expect us to be digitally. Thank you also to IAAP, because we worked with IAAP as the professional body. One of the things that an apprenticeship is required to do is ensure that the professional body supports the apprenticeship as well. So really, accessibility, as you and I know, is really about collaboration and working together. And this is probably one of my favorite projects that I've done in my career, because of the amount of collaboration that we've had to encourage and engage across all kinds of different sectors to make this come together. So, you know, whilst it might have been my crazy idea in the first place, and Mark's done all of the heavy lifting within Atos to coordinate and thoroughly deserves to be co-chair, we need to acknowledge the work of everyone else too, because we couldn't have done it without them.
Yes, sir. Well said. Mark, tell us how we can get hold of you on social media.
Yep. So you can find me on Twitter, Mark A. Wilcock, or at LinkedIn, Mark Wilcock. What I'd also say is, like Neil says, it's a community effort to create this, and it took a lot of hours from a lot of different people and a lot of different organizations. And whilst the framework that we had to abide by, the Institute of Apprenticeships, might have caused some irritation during our development phase, I think it really helped us actually hone down at what we needed to define and how to actually define it. Because I think, like Neil says, when we all work in accessibility so closely, you take certain kind of understanding and knowledge as a given, but really stepping back and defining it how they outlined, I think, has made it a lot more understandable by more organizations. And I think whilst we haven't actually had any apprentices go through the scheme yet, the interest we've seen from so many organizations that we wouldn't have expected, I think really shows that it could have a huge impact when it begins to be delivered as a standard. And if people are wanting additional information, just so we don't have to maintain a long mailing list, there is actually an interest group. So I think it's the Digital Accessibility Apprenticeship Interest Group on LinkedIn that people can join. And that's where we'll probably post updates or calls and things along those lines, just so, to make it a bit more manageable, because there's so many kind of different people popping in and out and having varied interest in either implementing it or looking at kind of the standard that we have developed.
It's really powerful work. You should be very proud of yourselves. This is how we start to change the world, because this morning I was on a call. I was on a panel with IEEE, and they were saying, what is the one word you have for us? Accessibility, because we need technology to be accessible. So thank you all for showing leadership with this. This is real legacy leadership, and I'm thrilled. And I'm going to go out to the LinkedIn group and I'm going to join it, Mark. But thank you both. And I hope you'll come back on and talk about this again, because I really want to see the world do this. So thank you, and all of your partners and everybody. And you're right, Neil, we don't do anything alone. We're all stronger together. But I knew we had talked to Mark on Access Chat, and I'm like, I want to join Human Potential at Work because this is really one way to move us forward. So congratulations to you, Neil, to you, Mark, and to Atos for being so smart to hire both of you too. We appreciate it. And if you want to learn more about it, it's www.atos.net. which I always thought was interesting, but that's okay. It's a technology company, or partially. So thank you, Mark, and thank you, Neil. And please, America, let's get this program. We need this apprentice program so bad in the United States, but we need it in India, we need it in China, we need it all over the world, because technology has to be accessible for human beings. So thank you, Atos. Thank you, Mark, and thank you, Neil.
Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you, Deborah.
You've been listening to Human Potential at Work. To learn more about Ru Global Impact, visit ruglobal.com. And to learn more about Billion Strong, an identity and empowerment organization designed to bring the billions of voices of persons with disabilities together, you can join the global community and donate at billion-strong.org. That's billion-strong.org.